Now Kirkhoff, one dribble back to Raby. Open three, straight away by Miley. Bingo! Miley Raby picks a perfect time to hit her first field goal, her first three of the game, and Smith Center has their biggest lead of the night, 40-31. The clock winds down. Lots of smiles. Smith Center bench jumping for joy. And for the fifth time in Smith Center girls basketball history, the Lady Red are moving on to the state semifinals.
Pretty exciting last night, the final game of four at Bramlage Coliseum there in Manhattan. Smith Center Lady Red, as you just heard, getting the win as they trailed 20-14 in the second quarter, trailed by four at halftime, dealt with some foul trouble, dealt with some more injuries, but then rallied in the third quarter, went to a 3-2 zone, and that needed to do that because of some of the foul trouble they had. And they outscored Jackson Heights 14-7 in the third quarter, led by three. And then Miley Raby, as you heard, her only field goal of the game, but it was a huge three-pointer to give them a nine-point lead. She also had a nice pass on a two-on-one fast break to Rensselaer for a layup to give him a six-point lead with 6 minutes to go. Hit the three-pointer, did Raby. 4 minutes to go, give him a nine-point lead. And then it was Dakota Kattenberg, who was the SNS Drug and Home Health Athlete of the Game, the sophomore, 17 points, 9-for-9 at the foul line. Those were huge. Cameron Hutchison hit some clutch free throws down the stretch, and Raby hit one as well, as Talon Rensselaer added 10 for Smith Center, as the Lady Red are now 20-4. They've won eight in a row, and they move on to the state semifinals for the fifth time in school history. They've been in the state only six times, but this is the fifth straight time to go into the semis, and they've never lost a state semifinal girls basketball game. They're 4-0. They won in the semifinals in 99, 2000, 2002, and then 2013 when they won the whole kit and caboodle in the state championship over JCN. So Smith Center and Lady Red now 10-4 all time in state basketball, won a state volleyball title earlier this season, this school year, and so now they have a chance to get a basketball title. They're one of the final four in Class 2A with a 44-37 win over Jackson Heights. Jackson Heights was the three seed. They end their year at 22-2. Their 11-game winning streak snapped. Canyon Olberding with 18, Kaylee Thompson 14, as they scored 32 of their team's 37. They just simply didn't have enough help, and Smith Center's defense got it done in the third quarter to allow them to rally from that six-point deficit in the second quarter and go on to win it. 44-37 was the final. Unfortunately, the Osborne Bulldog boys, their season came to an end yesterday with a 45-41 loss to Maxville. Tight game throughout. Osborne ends their season at 21-3. Congratulations to the Bulldog boys on, once again, a fantastic season, but they end up falling yesterday to Maxville in the quarterfinals in 1A Division I out in Dodge City. John Bowden says, shout out to the Smith Center City Snow Crew listening to music on KDNS. Well, now they're listening to me and the sports ticket, but very cool, and thank you to all those folks that clear our roads and our streets to allow us to make it to work or wherever the case may be, because not everybody has four-wheel drive vehicles. So thank you to all of those folks that are clearing the roads for us here this morning. And some were doing it last night when I was driving back from Manhattan to Beloit after Smith Center's game. So the Smith Center Lady Red will move on to the semifinals tomorrow at 6 o'clock against Garden Plain. And that will be a 6 o'clock tip time, pregame at 5:45, right here on Kitty Country 94 and kittycountry94.com. Let's just go through the results from yesterday. 2A girls, Sterling, the one seed, Mission Valley, 73-52. Breen Academy was down 14 in the second quarter, hit five threes in the third quarter when they were down 24-10. They were 0-for-8 from three in the first half. They rallied to beat Valley Heights 46-43. So Breen Academy will take on Sterling in one semifinal coming up on Friday at 2 o'clock. And then Smith Center against Garden Plain, as Garden Plain knocked off undefeated Pittsburgh Colgan, the two seed, 39-26. Colgan had just 9 points in the second half of that contest. In 1A Division One boys, Olpe, the one seed over Troy, 51-21. Maxville over Osborne, as we mentioned, 45-41. Solomon wins in the final seconds, the seven seed over Norwich, the two seed, 45-43. And South Gray, the three seed, beating Ness City, the six seed, 64-51. 1A Division Two boys, Greeley County, the two seed over Pawnee Heights, 63-34. Northern Valley wins over an overtime over Waverly, 63-57. Hanover all over the 4-18 Central Plains, 84-43. Hanover, the one seed. Buckland boys win over Caldwell, 67-45. Class 4A girls, Wellington edges McPherson, 33-29. Bishop Miege crushes Andale, 74-35. Once again, why are they in Class 4A? Eudora over Clay Center, 50-46. Crazy game here. Eudora, the 2 seed, was down by 19 with a minute 8 to go in the third quarter. Clay Center hit just 4 of 13 free throws in the fourth quarter. Couldn't seal the deal. Eudora gets their first ever girls state tournament game win, and they rally and win in overtime, 50-46. Wamego wins in the final seconds on a layup to beat Labatt County, 36-34. 3A boys, it was Royal Valley over Girard, 60-56. They'll take on Southeast Saline in the semi. Southeast wins over Osage City, 62-53. Eli Sawyers with 22, and Luke Gebhardt, 13, and Morocco Palmer with 12. Heston, defending champs in 3A, the 2 seed, beat Hugoton 46-34. And the best game of the day, maybe in the state, was TMP winning on a last second putback at the buzzer to win in double overtime over the 3 seed Galena, 68-67. And 6A, girls played Derby over Shawnee Mission West, 41-17. Blue Valley over Topeka High, 33-32. Olathe North over Blue Valley North, 54-51. Washburn Rural got by Dodge City, 66-43. And in 5A, boys, it was Topeka Seaman over Cape and Mount Carmel, 54-43. Mays over Topeka Highland Park, 53-47. St. Jay's Academy, the 7th seed, beat the 2 seed Topeka West, 59-51. And DeSoto gets by Blue Valley Southwest, 50-45. So the semis for tomorrow that we know, in 6A, it's Derby versus Blue Valley Girls, Olathe North versus Washburn Rural. In 5A boys, semifinals, Mays against Topeka Seaman, DeSoto against St. Jay's Academy. 4A girls, it's Wellington versus Bishop Miege, Eudora versus Wormigo. 3A boys semifinals tomorrow at 2 o'clock, Southeast Saline will take on the 1 seed Royal Valley and Hutch. Heston will take on TMP in the later semifinal. Also tomorrow, Sterling Marine Academy at 2 o'clock in the semis in Manhattan. And, of course, Smith Center Garden playing tomorrow, pregame at 5:45 on Katy Country 94. Class 1A Division 1 boys semifinals tomorrow at 2 o'clock, OP versus Maxville, Solomon against South Gray at 6. Class 1A Division 2 boys semifinals, Greeley County versus Northern Valley at 2 o'clock tomorrow, and Hanover, the 1 seed against Buckland, the 4 seed at 6 o'clock. That will be tomorrow out at Great Bend. As for today, we've got 2 games for you on the radio, and let's begin with the Osborne Lady Bulldogs. They're the first game up today on the radio as they will tangle with the Pretty Prairie girls, who are 22-1. Osborne's 22-1. Osborne the 4 seed, Pretty Prairie the 5 seed. 4 o'clock today, you can hear it with a pregame at 3:45. Dusty with a call from Dodge City right here on Katy Country 94 and katycountry94.com. Trina Luters on Pretty Prairie in this really difficult bracket.
I think it's going to be a good matchup. We know that it's going to be a tough game, but when we looked at them and we studied them a little bit, I think we're very capable of running with them. We're going to get up and down the court and focus on rebounding. For us, the thing we'll need to be in is be very mindful of our rebounding position and be in and take care of business in that manner. But I think it's one of the most competitive state brackets that I've seen in a while with when you look at the records and how everybody came out. And so we're going to go in, and we're big believers in rebounding and defense helps win games. So we're going to get out and run the floor and take care of business.
Some people believe this is a coin flip game. I think Osborne has a slight advantage in this one, but we shall see. 4 o'clock today, 3:45 pregame, 22-1 Osborne versus 22-1 Pretty Prairie. Dusty with the call today on Katy Country 94. And the other other first-round games in 1A Division 1 girls, Clifton Clyde, 8 seed against Hodgman County, the 1 seed. Centralia undefeated, 2 seed against Spearville. Little River against Burlingame is the late game out in Dodge City. 1A Division 2 girls quarterfinals today. Golden Plains against Buckland at 2. South Haven against Hutch Central Christian at 4. Lebo against Hanover tonight at 8 o'clock. And at 6 o'clock, with pregame at 5:45, the St. John's Tipton Lady Blue Jays try to play the role of spoiler and try to pull off a gigantic upset tonight against Central Plains, who's looking for the 8th straight state championship. Central Plains 22-1, the only loss to undefeated Sterling in 2A. St. John's Tipton comes in knowing that they're going to have to avoid turning the ball over to have a chance to pull off the upset.
You see Central Plains on paper or on a jersey, and it kind of instantly strikes a little bit of fear in you, which just speaks to their program and the level of players that they have. So it is what it is. I think we'll match up okay with them. You know, I think what's going to be key for us is to be patient on offense and to limit our turnovers. You know, a turnover is a turnover in one sense, but I kind of talked to the girls the difference between a travel that leads to a dead ball versus, you know, a pass that gets tipped and goes down the other way for a layup. So, you know, I think those are going to be two of the things that we'll really have to focus on, and hopefully we can go out and have fun and make a game out of it. We're excited.
Well, all you ask for is a shot, and St. John's Tipton will get their opportunity against Central Plains coming up tonight, pregame at 5:45. From Great Bend, Paxton Gordon, they're covering Hanover for our sister stations in Marysville. We'll have the call for you with 5:45 pregame today on Katy Country 94 and katycountry94.com. So best of luck to the Osborne Lady Bulldogs and the St. John's Tipton Lady Blue Jays today at State. Full broadcast schedule posted at ncksports.com. 2A boys today, Valley Falls against Pittsburgh Colgan at 2 o'clock, St. Mary's against Trigo Community at 4 o'clock, and Manhattan Hillsboro against Wichita Independent at 6, Linden against Sterling at 8 tonight. In 3A girls, Silver Lake, the one seed against Cherryville at 2 o'clock, Goodland, that's an interesting matchup. Beloit played both Goodland and Southeast Saline, and Goodland is really, really good. Goodland 21-2 against Southeast Saline 20-3. That's 4 o'clock today. Southeast didn't have a lot of size. Goodland has a ton of size. But that'll be an interesting contrast in styles. Nickerson against Frontenac at 6. Hugoton Santa Fe Trail Girls 8 o'clock in Hutch in Class 3A. For 4A, 5A, and 6A, visit ncksports.com. There's a link to Keisha's website with all of the state tournament brackets. We mentioned West Virginia is going to play Kansas today. West Virginia knocking off K-State last night by a final of 73-67 in the first round of the Big 12 tournament. There was just one game because Oklahoma State has been placed on one-year NCAA probation, not eligible to participate in the NCAA tournament or the Big 12 tournament. So they just had the one, in essence, play-in game. And K-State made just two of its final 10 field goal attempts. West Virginia shot 53% from the floor. Nigel Pack led K-State again with 18 points. Mark Smith with 17. And Ismail Massoud had 13. K-State's reserves are outscored 29-5 as West Virginia wins 73-67. They're now 16-16. They've lost their first two to Kansas, but get a third crack at the Jayhawks today. They're in Kansas City. And West Virginia, a 10-2 run to take a 69-60 lead with 3:29 left. Once again, K-State unable to close in the final minutes. And K-State, kind of the story of their season, close but not close enough, or not able to get over the hump. They are 14-17, more than likely done for the season. I say more than likely. Technically, the NIT can take teams with losing records now, but I don't see that happening. Bruce Weber was asked after the game about his thoughts on whether or not that, you know, that could have been his last game as a K-State men's basketball coach. It seems to be that the writing's on the wall, that Bruce Weber won't be back next year, especially with the way K-State finished the season, losing, what was it, six in a row to close out the season when they were right there and had a chance to maybe work their way in the NCAA tournament or at least be squarely on the bubble, and instead lost six in a row to end the season. That doesn't bode well for Bruce Weber. The last three seasons, counting this year, don't bode well for Bruce Weber. Bruce Weber, a couple of Big 12 titles, though. He went to the Elite Eight, so he did some really good things at K-State. That should not be overlooked. But in the coaching business, it's what have you done for me lately? And the last 3 years have not been good for K-State. They were more fun. They were more fun to watch this year with the transfer portal, getting Marquise Noel and bringing in Mark Smith, and they were more enjoyable to watch in regards to the way they played, I thought, especially offensively. But they did have problems on defense, especially second half of the season, and that caught up to them as well. So we'll see. And of course, a lot of people want to immediately, just like when K-State was trying to figure out a football coach, the first name everybody would bring up without even thinking, Brent Venables, you know, every time there was a coaching search. Well, with K-State men's basketball, the first name popped up. If you're a K-State fan, you know what I'm going to say, Brad Underwood. There's other guys out there as well, and I don't think Brad Underwood's going to come to K-State. He's doing all right at Illinois, but we shall see. And I said this before. I said it many times. We go through the song and dance every year with K-State men's basketball. Will Bruce Weber be back or not? Did he do enough to save his job? So forth and so on. And I've said this before. If K-State has a guy they want, really, and they really are sold on he's their guy, and if that's Brad Underwood, then K-State, get all your donors together. There's a lot of people that they got some serious cash, all right? And go ahead and pull your money and go get Brad Underwood. Send a plane, go get him. I mean, that's what Illinois did to go get him at Oklahoma State. Go get your guy. And I don't want to hear the excuses, we don't have enough money. There's enough money. There is. There's enough money to go get Brad Underwood. The question is how long of a deal, you know, this and that, whatever else, all of the perks you're going to go. But is it an enticing job for Brad Underwood? Would you rather stay in the Big Ten at Illinois or come to Kansas State? I don't think he's coming back to K-State. I don't think K-State's going to back up the armored truck, the Brinks truck, and give him all kinds of money. But if K-State's got a guy that they really like, they should target that guy and go after him full force. Full force. KU did that when Roy Williams took the North Carolina job. KU focused in on Bill Self. That was the guy, and they went and they made it happen. And oddly enough, they brought him from Illinois to KU. Now, obviously, KU is a marquee program in men's basketball. K-State used to be a really big name in college basketball. They're not, haven't been that way for the last 25, 30 years. So would Brad Underwood come back? if you give him enough money, I guess it's always possible. So that's my thing. If you're sold on Brad Underwood being your guy, then you better put your best foot forward and offer him as much as you possibly can and see if you can entice him to come to Manhattan. I don't think either one of those things is that likely, that he would come back. And the only way he would, I think, is if he's just got an unbelievable offer he can't refuse. And I don't know if K-State would offer that much either. So I think K-State might be better off going with a younger coach that is a little bit hip more to what's happening now with the name, image, and likeness, a little bit more hip to the transfer portal, which because you're going to have to be good in both of those things to deal with that. And I think no doubt there is fatigue from the Bruce Weber era at K-State that would re-energize the fan base. If you get a younger guy that's at least got some kind of track record, and it might be a mid-major, and this guy is getting his first Power 5 job, that's possible. I think K-State needs to consider, you know, whoever the best candidate at whatever level, they got to do a broad search, unless there's just a guy that they know is a home run hire. And if that's the case, they got to make it happen. And if they don't, well, then that's on them. So we shall see. But technically, Bruce Weber, still the coach at K-State. Can he last again until next year? Doesn't seem very likely. Big 12 women's tournament, Oklahoma and KU at 11 a.m. tomorrow. KU, the 5 seed. Texas Tech and Oklahoma State play at Municipal Auditorium today. West Virginia TCU is a 7-10 matchup today there in Kansas City. K-State women will play Texas tomorrow night at 7:30. Texas, the 3 seed. K-State women are the 6 seed. And the men's tournament today, Texas TCU at 11:30, KU against West Virginia at 2, pregame at 1:30 on Z96.3 Lake, Baylor against Oklahoma at 6, Texas Tech and Iowa State will play tonight at 8:30. If KU wins today, they will play in the semifinals tomorrow night at 6, pregame at 5:30 on Z96.3 Lake. If the Jayhawks win today and tomorrow, they'll play for the championship on Saturday at 5 o'clock, pregame at 4:30 on Z96.3 The Lake. March Madness continuing last night. One more team punched their ticket to the big dance. It is Colgate. Colgate, the number one seed, beat the number two seed Navy in their tournament in the Patriot League. Navy was down 24, came back, cut it to 6, but it wasn't enough. And Colgate, who's played very good in the NCAA tournament before, they've nearly upset teams the last couple times in the tournament. So a team to keep an eye on as they punched their ticket winning the Patriot League last night. That's the 10th team to win an automatic bid to the NCAA tournament as the slots continue to fill with qualifying conference tournaments. Wichita State men, the only way they're going to go to the NCAA, I should say, is by winning the American Athletic Conference. They'll start in the first round today at 2 o'clock down in Fort Worth against Tulsa. Tulsa 10-19, with Shockers 15-12, 6-9 in the AAC. Well, we talked about Russell Wilson a few days ago being traded from the Seahawks to the Broncos. It's not technically official until next week, but all signs point to that deal is going to be done, pending a physical. So Russell Wilson's on the move. Another quarterback has been traded in the National Football League. Yesterday, the Indianapolis Colts traded Carson Wentz after a one-year experiment. They traded him to the Washington Commanders. It used to be the Washington Redskins and the Washington Football Team. They're now called the Commanders, if you didn't know. Carson Wentz, it's his third team in 3 years, the Eagles, the Colts, and now the Commanders this upcoming season. And so the Commanders get a second-round pick in Carson Wentz. The Colts get a second-round pick, a third-round pick, and a conditional third-round pick. So the Colts will move on from Carson Wentz after 1 year. There's still rumors out there about some teams being interested in Deshaun Watson, but until his legal troubles are solved or taken care of, I don't see anybody really taking a chance on Watson. He's going to have that all figured out off the field before a team's going to give up, you know, high-quality draft picks to get him pried away from Houston. But that is a quarterback's name that has been floated out there as well for teams that are still looking to upgrade at quarterback. And Major League Baseball, well, it's almost like every other day. Oh, we're close to a deal. Oh, at the last hour. No, we're not going to have a deal. Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred announced another wave of regular season cancellations. Opening day for Major League Baseball has been postponed now until at least April 14th, effectively canceling another two series for each team. Last week, Manfred announced the first two series of the 2022 regular season had been canceled. Original opening day date was March the 31st. The cancellations come after 2 days of marathon bargaining sessions between Major League Baseball, the owners, and the Major League Baseball Players Association failed to result in a new collective bargaining agreement. Rob Manfred, of course, is representing the owners, and he talks about how they really tried and so forth and so on and blah, blah, and blah, blah, and blah, blah, and blah, blah. And to just cut through the chase here, there are some things that we might want to consider. Jackie Robinson Day could be in jeopardy. That is April 15th, and this would be the 75th anniversary of when Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier on April 15th, 1947. I think that would be, and no pun intended at all here, but that would be a huge black eye for Major League Baseball if you don't even have that day or celebrate it. And so I think April 15th is, that's the latest that both sides want to start. They have talked about they could make up these games that they canceled, doubleheaders and so forth and so on. So when Major League Baseball says we're canceling another two series, it doesn't mean those games are completely gone yet. Now, as we continue to drag this process out with the bargaining session, then it's going to be harder to make up games. And so thus we might not have a 162-game season, which to me, I don't care. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, 162 games is too much anyway. I thought Major League Baseball should have about 100, 120 games. That's plenty. 162 is just way too many in my opinion, but it's all about money, 81 home dates, so forth and so on. So Jackie Robinson Day could be in jeopardy on April the 15th, which would be the 75th anniversary of Jackie Robinson breaking the color barrier. That is an interesting date that I think that both sides would like to have a deal done to where they could start that day at the latest, but we shall see. The international draft is now a sticking point between both sides. Major League Baseball wants one and has wanted one for years. Players Association doesn't. The international draft is going to kill baseball in the Dominican Republic, according to those from the Players Association. Gaps were closed during the bargaining session between the owners and the players on some core economic matters in regards to minimum salary, competitive balance tax threshold, and pre-arbitration bonus pool. And then things became complicated, and now it looks like they will talk again, possibly. Well, we don't know when they're going to talk again, to be quite honest with you. But Major League Baseball, it's safe to assume, will cancel games on a week-by-week basis until a deal is struck between the two sides. So Major League Baseball Player Association, the players and their representatives have been saying that Major League Baseball continues to feed this information out to the public about how we're getting close. We're talking. And then at the last minute, they say that we're the ones that changed our stance and we're the ones that, you know, basically got it so far, and then we just are the ones that pulled the rug from underneath the owners and we backed out, or we were the ones that made it to where there was no deal. And they don't like how they're being painted in the public by the owners. So, you know, you got two sides, quite honestly, especially the Player Association. They don't trust the owners. And listen, when you don't have trust, I don't know what you have. So we shall see and continue to follow this, and whether or not there's Major League Baseball or not. And for some of you out there, you may not even care anymore. And if that's the case, I understand it. But for me, I don't really care that Major League Baseball loses some games. I do care about Major League Baseball not having a season. But at the same time, I my life will go on without baseball or without football or basketball or any sports for that matter. I love sports, but we had COVID. I made it through without sports then. So even though I'm a huge sports nut, you take away baseball, I'll find something else. And the younger generation maybe already is finding something else. But for me, as a baseball fan, I hope Major League Baseball does have a season. I'm not worried about 162 games. If they play 120, 110, 180, 140, I'm cool. But there are some that think that maybe they won't play this year. I think they're going to play. I think there's too much money to be lost, especially for the players, that there will be something that gets done. And I still think there's a chance that they could end up having almost an entire season, if not a full 162 games, but they're going to have to get something accomplished here sooner rather than later. Once again, state basketball today, it is Osborne girls, Lady Bulldogs, 22-1 against Pretty Prairies, 22-1. The 4 and the 5 seeds battle layout in Dodge City. 3:45 pregame. Dusty with a call from Dodge City here on Kitty Country 94 and KittyCountry94.com. Girls 1A Division 2 State Tournament Great Bend. It is St. John's Tipton, the 7th seed against the 2 seed Central Plains. 5:45 pregame. Paxton Gordon with the call. Tip off at 6 o'clock tonight on Kitty Country 94 and KittyCountry94.com. Make sure to download the free Kitty Country 94 app on your smartphones. Then tomorrow we hope to have 3 games tomorrow, but we know we have one for sure. Smith Center Lady Red, 6 o'clock tomorrow in the state semifinals against the Owls of Garden playing in Manhattan. 6 o'clock tip, pregame at 5:45 tomorrow for the Smith Center Lady Red on Katy Country 94 and KatyCountry94.com. Your number one source for high school sports in North Central Kansas. Enjoy the rest of your day. Enjoy your snow day. Be safe out there, folks.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or sunflowerstateradio.com.